Hello, Dog Days listeners. This is Chuck coming to you from the Binary Studio. Once again, I am in Phoenix, Arizona, home from sunny California. You know, actually, you didn't even hear when I was in California because I did an airport cast yesterday morning. And now it's Friday and I'm back. So let me tell you a little bit about that. It was before I get into Thursday, I got to rewind a little bit to Wednesday. I mentioned that I was going to try and be a good boy and go to the gym. I did go to the gym on Wednesday. I worked on the elliptical for 15, 20 minutes. I can't remember now. I should be keeping better track of this because, you know, what gets measured gets done. And I fell apart on that. But it felt good to get my heart going a little bit. And it got me out of that tire just weighted down lethargy that was, I mean, I was starting to get a headache. And I felt like, oh. And you know, when I really don't feel, it's probably when I feel like working out the least is when it has the most value. And, you know, like Tim says, you don't have to, you know, do an aggressive workout. Just get the blood flowing, get the heart going, get moving. It helps. And so let's get on to Thursday. Thursday was a good day. The flight to San Jose was very well. A little bit early this time, got on a 6 a.m. flight, as I mentioned, and you know, no major issues getting there. I was in the office by 7:15 a.m., so had a lot of time to explore and look around and set up my laptop. One girl came up and said, "Hey, are you Chuck?" And I said, "Yes." And she said, "Oh, I'm Amita, and we have a meeting at 8. And I went, "Oh, crap, I forgot." One of the reasons I was there was to help do a demo. And I looked at my calendar and went, "Oh, yeah, I've got about a half hour to go." So I set up for that. And the demo was going fine until WebEx pooped out on me in the end. And I was, you know, kind of going, well, you know, in the interest of time, we didn't need to see that part anyway. And like one of the VPs of marketing was in the room with me. It's kind of like my boss's boss. It's either two levels up from me or three levels up. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. We just kind of went, yep, you know, in the interest of time, let's go. I had maybe 5 minutes left before I had to run to a team meeting. It was just, overall, I got to talk to my boss and make sure it went all right. But I thought it went pretty well. The story I was telling and the software was behaving. There was one screw up on my part, but I easily fixed it and kind of covered it up and said, "See how easy our software is to fix your mistakes? I forgot to do this one step, but I can go back and fix it in about 30 seconds. Boom, bing, bang, done." So it was a lot of fun. And then I got to the team meeting, and I was sitting in sort of a common area outside by the elevators. And I jumped on the WebEx, and a guy walking by me said, "Jellyfish." I'm like, "What?" He's like, "We're in Jellyfish." That's the name of the conference room, which was maybe 30 feet away from me. So I joined everybody. It was nice to be part of the team and actually sitting around the table. And as I'm listening and talking on the phone, I walk in and, you know, you get that echo feedback loop. It's like, okay, turn the phone off. I'm not part of the official meeting. I'll tell you, it makes a huge difference when talking to people face-to-face around a table than it does when you're on a WebEx. Some of these people I'd never met face-to-face before. So it was good. This is a challenging project, and I have to say I'm not the probably the most enthusiastic person about some of these aspects of how it's being run and some of the things we're being asked to do, and I might come off a little adversarial over the phone, but face-to-face, it was a much, much different situation, and I was happy to have that opportunity. I think I had one of those opportunities last week when I was there on Tuesday, but I was in a different building and it just didn't work out right. So, you know, this opportunity was just spot on. I needed that. And I think that it helped smooth over some of the rough edges that I may have caused in the past. Not saying I caused any trouble, but, you know, every once in a while I'll say, you know, I have some concerns over that. And I can't make every meeting because of the traveling that I've been doing. And I think some of that is compounding it. And they're looking at me like, well, if you'd show up to the meeting, dumbass, you wouldn't have these questions and problems and issues. Anyway, I am rambling on and on and on. Thursday night was a great meetup with the developers in San Francisco. We were about a block and a half away from the 21st Amendment. It's pretty sad when I know where I am based on the bars of San Francisco. And I don't go to San Francisco all that often. Maybe for over the past 10 years, I've been there maybe four times. Five. Once for Knowledge 14. Once when Craig and I went to, 21st Amendment in 2007. Then there was a few months after Knowledge 14 when I went to Okta training. And then there was a developer meetup last year and this time. So it's like five times. And most of it's in the last 4 years, 3 years. So it's the fact that I knew where the 21st Amendment brewery is a testament to, I think I even have a coaster here in the studio somewhere from the 21st Amendment from 2007. And how it managed to make it from Appleton, Wisconsin to Phoenix and remain in the studio is anybody's guess. So it was a lot of fun. I did bring my little Amazon Dash button and remember to bring the other half of that equation, the light and outlet, and told a real fun story. So I did my regular presentation and everybody was going, yep, that's interesting. New software features coming in the new software release. And then I started talking about, okay, TJ, the meeting organizer, said, hey, what is that? Okay, you're going to present that, right? And I said, okay, I'll tell a story. And the people's eyes lit up. It wasn't even on the agenda originally. And they went, wow, that's cool. For whatever reason, when you take real physical things and bring them into, you take a software thing and bring it into the physical world and say, look, I push this button, bada boom, bada bing, message to Amazon, message to ServiceNow, message to, light goes on. We're like Thomas Edison in the early days when you flip a switch and the lights go on. That's what I kind of felt like. It's like, you know, when you get right down to it, I'm pushing a button and a light goes on. But the magic that happens on the other side, and then I related it to their jobs. I said, now think of where you can use this in your company. Okay, you've got a coffee pot. It's not smart, but somebody says, hey, the coffee pot needs service. They push a button. And whoever services the coffee pots, whether it's facilities or housekeeping or whatever in your company, they get a request or a text message or something that says, hey, go fix the coffee pot on the third floor or bring supplies or whatever. So it was a fun way to introduce familiar things from Amazon Dash buttons to services that can be done more effectively. And you can track this stuff and say, how many times is the coffee pot needed service in the last month? Maybe we need a new coffee pot. Maybe we need a new... You know, there was a business case in there, even though I just have fun pushing buttons and turning lights on and off. Then to make it more fun and reflect, I said, you know, the people in Denver thought it was even more impressive when I brought up the Nest Cam for our living room, push the button and the living room lights turn on and turn off. I said, now that's happening in Phoenix. They went, oh, yeah, okay. For whatever reason, that was impressive also. Even though it was the exact same concept, I was just turning a different outlet or switch on and off. So it was fun. I had a lot of fun. Good people, good food, good time, good beer. next on my list is, I obviously got home this morning, got up again at 4 a.m. This time it was like sleeping in because it was 4 a.m. Pacific, which is 5 a.m. for me, which is usually when I get up on most weekdays. So it was a pretty easy morning. Got to the airport really early. The flight wasn't until 6:50. And that was good because the Uber driver was really slow at picking me up. And I went, no problem, no sweat. I got lots of time. Get to the airport. The security line was really long. I went, no problem, no sweat, lots of time. Got to the gate, had like an hour to go. So I watched the other half of Voyeur on Netflix. Wow, what a kooky show. It's a documentary and it's... It's interesting. If you liked Making of a Murderer, it's kind of along that line of we're talking to the guy who's being interviewed, and then we're talking to the journalist, and then we're talking to the guys being interviewed, and back and forth, and how the story unfolds and what you find out about his story. It's kind of interesting. It's about an hour and a half long. So Voyeur on Netflix. If you liked Making of a Murderer, even if you didn't like it and you thought it was an interesting story just for the story's sake, this is like that. It's not about the voyeur himself. It's about the journey these two men take as they're getting this story out. Kind of a slow day. Once I got back, I did get some extra rest, and then went online and did a live stream with Dave Slusher and Josh Narius at work, doing live coding happy hour on Friday afternoon. Worked out great, had a good time, and went to the gym again tonight. So I'm feeling a little bit better. This time I did the elliptical for 15. Then I did free weights, just kind of working the chest and shoulders again. Haven't done that in a long time. And then went and did the bicycle for another 15. So just keeping the heart rate up. And I think if I can get the heart rate up a few times a week, it will clear up some of this fogginess that I feel. Where's number five? Number five is our word of the day. I didn't tell you what number I was on, but word of the day, and I am running a little long tonight, but hey, it's Friday. You've got the weekend. Oh, wait, it is Dog Days of Advent. If you want to find more about the Dog Days of Advent, you can go over to dogdaysofpodcasting.com. This is a challenge for podcasters to podcast every day during the season of Advent, however you measure that, from the 3rd of December, the 1st of December, the 12 days of Christmas, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Have fun with that. The word today is voice, which is appropriate for podcasters, I tell you. This is something near and dear to my heart, not just for podcasting's sake, but it just brought to mind something else. Somebody on Dr. Carl on Triple J this week asked, why does everybody's voice sound different? It's very rare that you hear two people that sound the same, and talented people like Jay can imitate very closely other people or other characters' voices, and kudos on him for doing that. I try in some respects. I have my own set of characters that I can do, but the reason is that it's all in the mechanics of the way that our throats are shaped, the vocal cords, the responsiveness we've got on there, the sinus cavities, the shape of our mouths, the teeth, the tongue. It's all different, so you're going to get subtle tonal differences. Even the way that you've learned to speak through culture, through your family, that kind of thing can influence the way that you sound or speak. I was fascinated to know that every time you find out that like somebody on your favorite TV show is really British and they're doing a really good American accent, or the other way around. That was fascinating. The one that I just discovered was Jonathan on Stranger Things 2. He's actually got a British accent. Maybe it's Australian. I apologize. I can't tell because he didn't say much. But and his voice is much higher in his native accent. I was like, well, who is that? What? His character is the gloomy Gus character that hangs around. Go watch Stranger Things. You'll find him. And then watch After Stranger Things? It's an after show called Beyond Stranger Things 2. That's what it is. And he's on at least one of those. I haven't finished watching that series. But from a work perspective, a couple of years ago, I used to help onboard people in their training for professional services. And one of the things that they need to do is get in front of customers and talk about the solution or talk about what they propose. And that presentation mode, it's stunning how many people get to their adult career and have no training on how to deliver a presentation, no sense of their bodies and the motions that can take, and their voice and what power they have in the voice, in the three P's: pitch, power, and pace. Because if you want, there are times when you want to inject pauses, making them aware of stop words. And I know Mad Marv was listening to Career Tools, and they were talking about stop words recently. And they didn't call them stop words. They called them something else. And I think it was Wendy was saying every time she was going to say or like, or, you know, she would just inject a pause. And somebody else perceived that as very powerful to the meaning. She was just like trying to mentally erase out these stop words. And somebody interpreted it as much more impactful to the way that she delivered. Wow, didn't count on that, but okay, that was cool. So your voice can be very powerful, and I encourage you, even if you're not a podcaster, if you're listening to this, and you don't even like the sound of your voice, which many of us don't when we first start recording, discover the power of your voice and learn and practice how to deliver so that you can be more influential, more... get your point across, more understood, and your voice It's going to pay off. Trust me. Inject your personality, your enthusiasm in there. Not thinking of anybody in particular that might be listening to this, but never hurts. And then the final thing I got is, before I turn in for the night, Donna is coming home tomorrow. So I will be very glad to pick her up from the airport Saturday afternoon. Having a good time. Looking forward to getting back with her. I have a honey-do list that is a mile long. So it's a good thing I get up early in the morning so I can get it all done. I would at least like to get the Christmas lights up. Don't think we're going to do a tree. As I mentioned before, cats, trees, knocking things down. That's up to her. I'll recommend we don't. We haven't done anything yet. We usually do that closer to Thanksgiving. But I would like to get some lights outside because I think ours is the only house in the cul-de-sac of five houses that doesn't have any sign of Christmas decorations or lighting. And that's sad. We did one year, I think in 2014 when we first got here. And as I mentioned, the Christmas decorations are a scant few feet away from me in the office. So there's no excuse I can't just reach them. I do have a smart outlet outside so I can turn them on and off from the comfort of my bed or from miles away with a dash button. But I really want to get at least some Christmas lights on a palm tree, on a cactus, on something, just to say it's the season. And maybe that will get me more in the Christmas mood, because living in Phoenix, there's no snow. There's snow in South Texas right now. So Merry Christmas, Corpus Christi. It's cold most other places in the country, and it's cooled down a little bit here. It is, I think we're getting down to 45 tonight, so I closed the windows and I turned on the heat, and I'm going to be snug as a bug in a rug, and I will talk to you tomorrow. Where is that outro music? Take care, have fun, and happy Advent calendar. Bye.